Every January, the first of the year, folks my age, and there are a few of you that, you know, say, well, I can't relate to that, but bear with me. We're urged to have an annual wellness check. Anybody? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? I had mine just last week, and some of it's pretty routine. You visit the doctor's office, you have some blood work done, you get some up-to-date vaccinations, or at least you're encouraged to do that. They also have you fill out some paperwork and have consultations with nurses, GPs, and perhaps medical specialists. I have some follow-up visits I need to make with my rheumatologist. There's some common questions on the questionnaires, and they're also given by the staff about mental well-being. There's a lot of that as they're considering us to do a health check, if you will, a wellness check. They ask about our mental well-being. Here's some of the questions. Do you feel anxious or worried? Do you find it hard to cope with stress? Do you feel depressed? Do you have trouble sleeping or resting? Do you sense a need for more emotional support? Do you need some help with your medications? And the last one, do you sometimes entertain thoughts of self-harm or suicide? Now, the sliding scale of answers to pick from is something like this. Never, rarely, sometimes, or often. Now, thankfully, at this stage in my life, I'm able to choose never for most of those things and rarely for a few. But caregivers are often seeming to be surprised by my answers, if not even skeptical about them. You know, like, really? In fact, when a nurse practitioner at the immediate care just this past summer asked me that series of questions when I went in for a little, flare-up that I had, I replied, I'm too blessed to be stressed and very thankful of how well I'm doing. She said, really? I've never heard anyone answer that way. Now, after sharing a brief testimony about Jesus' influence in my life, she told me my attitude impressed her and asked where I went to church and even said she'd pay us a visit, though I haven't seen her yet, unless she slipped in when I wasn't looking. Now, I mean no disrespect to those who are less fortunate than myself, but I'm pretty sure she'd interviewed at least a few Christian followers before she'd interviewed me. But I'm pretty confident Irma Hoffert wasn't one of them. Our Irma Hoffert, because, you know, you ask her how she's doing, it's always, super! I'm doing great! I'm so blessed! God is so good! That's her response, and I really appreciate that. But this experience prompted me to conduct a New Year's wellness check with you. Okay? After all, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 urges us, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? So examine yourselves. So how y'all doing? Super, I'm hearing from someone. How y'all doing? Great, some of you are saying. Well, let's break this down. Do you ever feel anxious or worried? Never, somebody says. Some have put their hands up. Do you find it hard to cope with stress? Do you ever feel depressed? Do you have trouble sleeping or resting at times? Do you sense the need for more emotional support? Do you need some help at times just to do what you know you should do? I'm afraid that extreme extended feelings like that of grief and pain can lead to thoughts of, well, wanting to give up. And Christians, hear me, are not immune to these feelings. We're not. Yet pardon the comparison, Christ's blood is the vaccine to keep these deadly infections from overwhelming us, of destroying us. Are you hearing me? I want to offer you some spiritual prescriptions today. But first of all, if you're anything like me, and that might scare you to even think that it could be possible, you usually have a pretty good idea what doctors are going to say to you when you're going in for a checkup, even before you go. Choose a healthy diet. Get more exercise. Maybe you should lose a little weight. Stop bad habits of smoking or vaping or drinking alcohol. Well, we might be expecting those things. Yet I'm afraid that until we're confronted about doing what we know we ought to do, we often don't do anything. Isn't that true? Sometimes we know what we ought to do, but we need to be confronted about it, or at least prompted about it, or encouraged about it. So forgive me for stating the obvious, but let's never dismiss sound advice, no matter how many times we may have heard it or think we don't need to hear it again. So are you ready? The best preventative medicine for worry is trust. It's trust. Listen to Jesus in Luke 12, 22 and following. Jesus was talking to his disciples, his followers, and he said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, about your body, what you wear, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." How many of you understand that today? That you're more valuable than birds. You are. Jesus says so. "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you?" He says, "You have little faith. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Now, one of the things that Jesus is saying here is, don't fret, it won't help a bit. It won't help. If anything, it will only make things worse for you. So what's the alternative? Only one that works. Trust God to take care of you. Trust God to take care. That's what he's saying, isn't it? Trust God to take care of you. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 5, 7. "Cast all of your anxiety or all your worries, all of your cares on him because he cares for you. Seek his counsel. Follow his direction. Trust him that his counsel and his direction is always right. It's always good. And trust that he will take care of you because he cares for you." Now, it probably won't surprise you that one of the most prescribed antidotes for anxiety is prayer. We talked about that somewhat last week. Remember the Apostle Paul's prescription in Philippians 4. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Now, again, maybe you're thinking, I know that passage, Pastor. I know that. But I've prayed till I'm blue in the face, and it hasn't helped. Well, listen closely. Paul is not saying the act of praying is what helps, but the one who hears the prayers who helps. We simply petition him. That's the idea of taking our requests, our concerns to him, asking him to help. We ask him to come to our aid, believing with all of our hearts that he will. That's our part. Believing, trusting, and asking. When we do that, we can find some immediate relief. Now, you say, immediate relief? Well, again, let me illustrate. And for those of you who've been around here for quite a while, have heard the story at least once, so bear with me. Several years ago, we were driving to Ohio. Matter of fact, it was the first Thanksgiving weekend after we moved here. First Thanksgiving weekend. And we were on our way to Ohio for Thanksgiving, and we ran right into a blizzard just as we entered on the Indiana Turnpike. Now, it wasn't snowing when we left here, but a blizzard. There were cars and snowbanks to the right of us and the left of us, either side of the highway. And when the car in front of us started skidding sideways, well, I had a couple of options. One, either slide into him or head into the ditch. I chose door number two. We were buried nose first in the snow and obviously weren't going to get out under our own power. I tried. We thank God. We prayed right then. We weren't hurt. We were okay. But what now? We could be stuck there for hours. And to be honest, I was a bit concerned. I was worried. I started doing inventory. Thankfully, we had a little coffee left in our thermos, but not much. We'd packed blankets and some candles in our emergency kit, which I encourage you to do. I called AAA, but was told that due to the high volume of calls in the area, it'd be a considerable time before anyone could even get back to us. So it was like, just then, a plow went by and pushed snow on top of us, which added insult to injury. I mean, I'm not talking about a little bit of snow. We were covered in it in that ditch. Now, I managed to push the door open with some effort to get out of the car and was doing my best to uncover the car's exhaust. Well, thankfully, I had a full tank of gas. Wanted to run the heater, but you got to have that exhaust clear. And I wanted the taillights to be uncovered just in case somebody come looking for us. That's when a state trooper stopped to make sure we were okay. He said that he knew a guy who could get us out within the hour if I had $100 in cash. I generally don't carry that kind of money on me. I just don't. But, praise the Lord, I made a withdrawal before starting on our journey. The trooper made the call and said help was on the way. And as he drove off, I want you to hear me, I felt a huge sense of relief. Why? Nothing had changed. We were still in the ditch in a snowstorm, just as cold as we were before, and now we're out of coffee. I didn't know the officer from Adam, let alone the person he called, whoever that was, but I trusted what he told me. And the promise of help on the way made a big difference in my outlook immediately. Immediately. Praise the Lord. Within 20 minutes, a tow truck arrived. I gave him the cash, and he pulled us out of the ditch, and I was back on the road about 15 minutes after that. It was white-knuckle driving for a little while, but before long, the roads were clear, and we made it to our destination safe and sound. What's my point in sharing this story? Because so much stress and worry is alleviated when we take God at His word. When we trust Him. Whatever jam I might be in, I try to recall the perspective of King David in the opening verses of Psalm 121. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Where's our help going to come from? Who's the one who promised he would help us in time of need? Who is it? It's the Lord. And remembering our source of help serves as a soothing ointment for a weary and worried soul. How many of you know that to be true? In fact, Jesus said that we can find rest for our souls if we'll come to Him with our burdens, with our concerns, with the things that are weighing us down. That's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Remembering who our helper is, trusting Him. But it brings me to another question here. We want to trust and we want to pray. But one of the other things, again, on that wellness check was, do you need emotional support? Do you need that? The Bible often prescribes fellowship as a treatment for despair and depression. Consider these following passages, okay? Proverbs 27:17. Some of you could quote it. As iron sharpens iron, so one person or one man can sharpen another. The hardships we face can leave us feeling dull and useless. A kind word or a pep talk from someone who cares can make a world of difference, though, especially when it's supported by God's promises, by God's word, by his truth. The church is a body made up of many members who accept the mutual responsibility to encourage each other. When one part suffers, we all do. And we all come alongside to try to help the one who's suffering. That's the way we are called to do with one another. Galatians 6:2 instructs us, carry each other's burdens, and you'll fulfill the law of Christ. A lot of people, think about, well, what does Christ want me to do? Well, here you go. Carry one another's burdens. There are things that we need to handle on our own. Sometimes there are things that we have to do on our own. But sometimes the load can become so heavy, we need help. We need help. This church understands the teachings of Jesus to love our neighbors and to demonstrate it, particularly to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to do that. We're ready to help whenever we can, however we can. Sharing the love of Christ is not just our slogan, it's our calling. Too many folks suffer alone, needlessly. Too many people just don't feel that they can share their burdens with anyone. Share them with Christ. Share them with one another. Which brings me to the next thing. James 5:16, where we confess your faults and failures to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The sincere and fervent prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, this could be hard. Our pride can keep us from being honest about our struggles, especially if we feel like they are a reflection of our character. We also may think that, well, no one's going to care anyway. Everybody's got their own problems, right? Yet once again, we need to be open and we need to be honest about our struggles, and particularly those struggles that are overwhelming us. And so many times those are battles with our own flesh. Too often we choose to deal with personal problems on our own, only to end up in a downward spiral of, you guessed it, deep despair and depression. If this sounds to you like I'm saying the church is to be a support group, you're hearing me correctly. Though our primary mission, sure, is to tell the world about Jesus, we cannot do that effectively without taking care of ourselves and one another. We can't. We need to be fit for the task. The Apostle Paul teaches us in Ephesians 6:10-18, that we need to be suited up with the full armor of God because we're in a battle with the forces of evil. He urges us in that text to get inoculated. Stand firm with the belt of truth, buckle around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hear that. Part of my responsibility as a pastor is to do my best to equip you with the resources available to resist the enemy's attacks. I want you to know the truth. And more than just know it, wear it. Wear it. That breastplate of righteousness, it comes only through faith in Christ. It's not our own goodness. It's not our own perfection. It's his perfection granted to us. It's his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy. I want you to be ready and understand the gospel of peace, to have that. I want you to have that shield of faith. because Satan attacks in so many ways. And one of the ways he does that is through trying to bring us down, get us discouraged, get us depressed, get us to be so full of anxiety and worry and concerns that we take our eyes off of, our focus off of our helper and the help that he provides. When we truly engage in spiritual warfare, though, throughout our lives, we're going to find ourselves in need of routine rest and refreshment. Years ago, one of my Bible professors referred to the church as a MASH unit. And if you don't know what that is, you know, the MASH unit, if you watched MASH years ago, you know, but that's old sitcom or program. But a MASH unit, again, was a unit of medical helpers and doctors and nurses and others who could help someone who was injured in battle, who was needing, again, to be built back up, strengthened to go back out on those front lines. And he said, the church is like that. Depending upon the intensity of our battle, we may need some special care, even rehabilitation, if you will, before going back to the front lines. How many of you know that's true? We'll need a retreat to bandage our wounds, to reload and reboot. But more than having a place for that, we need a community of people for that. We need people, again, who will support us and encourage us and help us to get back up on our feet when we're falling, to help us get, again, refreshed and ready. Now, you might be thinking, okay, Pastor Steve, that's easy for you to say. You've never experienced the kind of grief or sorrow or loss that I have. You'd be wrong. I know what it's like to be given a terminal diagnosis, personally. I know what it's like to be standing by a friend or a family member when they're given one. I know what it's like to be at the bedside of someone in hospice that I love dearly. I know what it's like to be at the graveside of a friend or family member. I know. I'm not unacquainted with it. But here's what I've found. This is what I've learned. This is what I've learned. To cling to the hope. Trusting, praying, and relying upon God and his people. And that's the prescription that I'm offering you today. That's really what I'm offering you today. Trusting, praying, relying upon God and the resources that he provides. Maybe you're a person out there today, though, you say, well, I don't feel the need for any support. I don't feel the need for that. I'm doing quite well. If so, count yourself blessed. Give God a praise offering. Say, thank you, God, that I'm in the position that I'm in today. Thank you. But if that is the case, I'm compelled to tell you to consider at least that you're in a prime position to give support to those who do need it, to someone who needs someone to lean on right now, someone to be encouraging them right now. They need that. I also might tell you that if you're doing well now, don't let your guard down. Don't let your guard down. And realize that one day might come when you'll be that wounded warrior in need of assistance. And when you are, remember though, remember to cling to your hope, cling to your hope, rely upon God, trust him, rely on his promises, pray and petition others to, ask others to help you in your time of need. So I'm just going to close this out today with this. None of us need to go through hard times alone. We don't. And when we try to, that's one of the biggest mistakes that we can make. The Lord offers his help, and so does his church. Our physical resources as a church sometimes may be limited, but guess what? He possesses all the power and the strength you could ever need. All that you need. I hope this wellness check has actually encouraged you, not discouraged you. Because I want you to realize that all of us at times go through difficult times. And it can be easy to be overwhelmed with the concerns of life. But again, remember, we have one who can handle those concerns, every single one of them, and more. So let's trust him. Let's trust him, rely upon him, pray, petition him to help, and believe with all of our hearts that he will. And again, don't forget to reach out to and rely upon your brothers and sisters in Christ who are here for you. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for, the reminder that you are so good and so gracious, as we've sung, as we've thought about, we've declared. But Father, help us to remember too that because of this, we should be confident that we can bring our burdens, our worries, our cares, our anxieties, our struggles to you, and know that you can offer real help. Thank you, Father, for being there for us time and time again, for the way that you've helped us through some things that maybe there were some dark valleys that we didn't think we'd ever get through, but we did with your help. And because of that, help us to trust that whatever might be facing us right now today or in the immediate future, Father, that we might have to face, Father, that you are the same God with the same power and the same strength that you were then. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, you love us dearly, and that will never change, and you have help available for the asking. For the asking. So we're asking you, Father. And if there are those right now assembled today or within the sound of my voice who are struggling, they're hurting, and they're feeling alone, Father, I pray that they might have the courage to come to us too, so that we can help in the ways that you provide for us to be able to. Thank you for this church. It's such a wonderful example of loving support. May we continue to do that. And again, may we share the love of Christ every opportunity we have. Thank you for loving us so much. You sent Jesus. In his name we pray.